I'll declare the meeting open. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the state, and pay our respects to their elders present. I let everyone know that we will record the audio of the General Council meeting that will be available, made available on the City of Meriden website. That can apply to items deemed confidential, of course. We're also streaming this meeting live, so everyone knows that it will be broadcast. I ask elected members and welcome to those offline as well as those present in the chamber, if they foreshadow any conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Shilling.
Have assumed to see conflict of interest with the CAP motion, being a deputy member, but I will stay in the chamber.
Right, and Councillor Telfer indicated she might be here. Yeah. Physically present this evening, and she may address that issue when we get to it, if we get to it. Any others? I'll see. Someone would like to move confirmation of the minutes of last GC. Move Councillor Duncan, second Councillor Seeker. All those in favour? All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously, thank you. Would someone like to move that the communications reports be received? Move Councillor Shilling, second Councillor Mason. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. We now can turn our attention to three deputations. The first being in relation to the potential for a water supply efficiency pilot project. Extending our network further south on page 38 of the agenda. And we have Ms. Moritz taking notes and I think managing incoming deputations online. I believe we have Catherine Miles and Hannah Elyard to speak to us.
Yes.
So we can see that also on our screen. That's positive. Would you just like to introduce yourself and Hannah to begin with?
Yes, so my name is Catherine Miles and I'm project managing a project with the Department for Environment and Water and working with Hannah Elyard in the department to deliver that project. And I believe that Glenn Ricketts is going to speak a little more further on the agenda about the funding proposal, but we're going to provide a bit of a background to where it comes from.
Have a confidential item on the agenda, and I think it's pretty clearly confidential because it discusses the funding sources for a project, so it's not unusual for that to remain confidential for the time being. But of course there's no problem discussing in principle what the project involves and how it might be achieved and that sort of thing. Just checking with staff, do we have Hannah Elyard online?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sorry, thank you. You have 5 minutes, so please go ahead with your deputation.
All right. So I'll just give a little bit of background to the project. So the Department for Environment and Water received funding from Australian Government to assess the feasibility of substituting River Murray water with alternative water supplies and looking in particular at the potential for stormwater use or for treated wastewater to be used to subsidise River Murray water use, so effectively mains water supply in Adelaide. The project's funded under the Murray-Darling Basin Plan Sustainable Diversion Limit Adjustment Mechanism, efficiency measures. It's a long title. And the program is aimed at turning 450 gigalitres of water through efficiency measures to the environment to achieve environmental outcomes in the basin. So the principle of the project is that if alternative water supplies can be found, then water can be returned to the River Murray, no longer needs to be taken. So the project has looked particularly at areas potable water or where irrigation water is being used that could be substituted. So the department undertook a technical feasibility study with the funding that it received, and that was being completed in September. And it identified, the study identified that from a technical perspective, it would be feasible to substitute approximately 1,753 megalitres of water across Adelaide, and that could contribute to returning the water to the River Murray. So the projects were involved a number of existing schemes, we didn't look at developing any new ones from scratch, and there were six council areas, council schemes that seemed to be ready to go on that, or have a reasonably good chance of providing that water supply. The City of Marion's proposal, which was to extend the buy water from the Oaklands Park scheme, seem to be a little ahead of the other projects. So there's a lot more work has been done into shoring up that there's definitely demands that can be substituted there. It's definitely technically feasible. And some work has been done around looking at the business case for that already. So the department has sent its feasibility study off to the Commonwealth. Said, yes, it's technically feasible. And the next step for most of the projects will be to investigate a business case proposition for it. So we've got a funding submission for that. But the Marion project, we're trying to fast track because we think it's got some merit to have a basically a test case to go ahead, and it will provide some important learnings if it's funded for other programs in the future. The funding for the project hasn't been determined exactly, so it's probably worth understanding with these projects, they're not like for example, the infrastructure announcement recently in the state budget, or that was earlier, where it's just a 50% of the costs one. This one is funded on the basis of how much water is returned to the River Murray. So the way that it's usually funded has been designed to meet a generally irrigation or rural type of projects. And urban projects haven't really been funded under it. So we think, the urban projects are a little more expensive. So this will, I guess, will also be a little bit of a test case to see whether the Commonwealth is willing to fund that urban outcomes there. And I think that will be, and probably the other key thing to put in is that the proposal has a number of stakeholders involved in the project, and so a project will only be submitted if all of the stakeholders are able to agree, and obviously the City of Marion is a key stakeholder there, so the proposal that goes forward has to make sense to the City of Marion, otherwise there's not really a case for it. Did you want to add anything, Hannah?
No, I think that's pretty well covered up. I'll have to answer any questions if people have them.
Thank you. Just one question from the Mayor before I pass it on to elected members who might want to ask questions. Would it make sense, in light of the funding sources that you're talking about, for Council to approve in its own budget subject to funding?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, we're going
That will help us to demonstrate to the Commonwealth that the City of Marion is committed to putting its funds in, but that won't hold you to doing it should you not receive the funding from the Australian Government.
Exactly the point of my question. Thank you. Elected members, any other questions? No, thank you for that. Very, very clear and packed full of information. Thank you. So we'll get to that water decision later this evening, probably. It's a few hundred pages away from us at the moment, but we do hope to get there. So thanks once again, Catherine and Hannah, and we'll let you stay or leave the meeting as you wish, and we'll move on to other deputies.
Thank you.
I'll say goodbye. Thank you.
So next, there's a change of pace to two deputations regarding the issue of whether we should have three-on-three basketball at the Stanley Street Reserve. So we have a deputation in favour and a deputation against, essentially. First, we have Nathan and Vicky Black. So I'll let them sort of briefly introduce themselves and just make sure that we actually get them on online. Staff offer any advice on that?
It's coming. It's just got to wait. It's...
Oh, I just have to wait.
Sorry.
That's technology for you.
So he is there and the camera's just not on.
All right. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yes. Sorry. What am I doing first? All right, start with you. Yep, got me? Great.
You know the drill. You have 5 minutes, and perhaps just tell us where you live in relation to the reserve, and just give us that context, and then let us hear what your views are. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes, thanks for letting me do this. So I live three houses down on Stanley Street from the reserve. I've lived there for the last 15 years. I like to say that it's great that the reserve is going to be upgraded. I think it's well overdue, but yeah, it's fantastic. It's going to happen. I'm speaking to you tonight, but yeah, regarding the 3-on-3 basketball court, which was removed from the proposed Stanley Street Reserve due to noise concerns by a resident. On behalf of 96 people, you know, local to the reserve, that we have submitted a petition to asking if you would reconsider this decision. The initial design for the reserve showed a basketball court, and then the second revised design also showed a basketball court. So this indicates to us that the City of Marin believe that it's suitable for the reserve, because they wouldn't put it in there if it wasn't suitable. Our children, amongst others, were really disappointed. We didn't really, I guess, a lot of people kind of ring up when they've got a complaint about something more than, you know, if we're for something. We did remark once, but I guess a lot of people, and that I've spoken to, said they hadn't because they approved of it. As you would all be aware, the number of homes that have gone up in the area have increased due to subdivision. It seems to be every week you see a new two-story townhouse go up, which is fine. But you can drive around and you can see littered around the areas portable basketball courts, rings that are crammed into small driveways where you've got kids obviously playing, shooting some hoops right next to a road. The community, especially the older kids, would benefit from a 3-on-3 basketball court that gives them room to shoot some hoops without the dangers of playing next to a road. We're aware that there are basketball rings in the area. I know the one at the Costa is for the younger, which is only 8-foot ring, with one at Helmsdale and Willoughby Reserve. But we feel that the reserve would really it would be great to see there for the older kids. Basketball, just going there and shooting some hoops is something that a kid can do without having to organise any mates to participate in something like cricket or tennis or something like that. He can go there by himself, shoot some hoops and have some fun. Also, and as you all would agree, the safety point of having it there as opposed to as many shooting by the roads, but also like the mental health for the younger generation. I think we should be doing all we can as a society to get the children off their screens and out having fun. And I just, yeah, and we think that the basketball ring will do that. We've done some research that we found innovation that will decrease the noise level it comes from the court, and one being the mesh fiberglass backboard, which reduces the noise, that they tell me, by True Line Australia, who I contacted, by 60%. So that banging noise off the backboard is going to be reduced by 60%. The surface, there's many surfaces out now. There's one by MFS Sport, which is basically like a rubber plastic tile, which then that reduces the bouncing noise by 30%. We feel that this, along with a curfew on shooting times, should be a solution that would appease everyone. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and that leaves us a little bit of time for questions. Councillor Clancy's got a question.
Hello, thank you, Mr. Black. I'm just wondering if you would be happy with the original option of the basketball court being at the northern end.
I would be, but we were told that couldn't happen, and some of the people that live adjacent that I've spoken to about this have said, I've explained to them that the ring is going to be south of the tennis courts, because that was the revised concept plan. So when I've spoken to my neighbours, this is what I had told them, because that was the that was where it was at last point.
Just before we go on, I think as Mayor, I should just clarify the process a little, not just for yourself, Mr. Black, but others may be viewing us this evening. So when upgrades a reserve, we've got a great team that comes up with all sorts of creative ideas. They would have been aware that basketball's quite popular, especially with a lot of young people. So they would have said, well, let's put that in the concept plan. But when we say it's for community consultation, we do actually take that very seriously. I dare say in the past, with this council and with some other councils, community consultation is in inverted commas, because it's just a rubber this is what we're gonna do, whatever you say, and go ahead. That is not Marion Council's approach. So it's very genuinely, here is a suggestion, what does the community think? So with reference to what you said about the reserve being suitable for it, it would be suitable in terms of the demographics of the area, it literally fits within the reserve, etc. But when we have resident objections, even a very small number, even just one, we do take that sort of thing seriously. So that's where the concept plan had another iteration. Then we found another resident who objected to it. And so that's where it's come to the crunch coming up to this meeting. So what you've done is absolutely appropriate in arguing for it, in having a deputation and a petition, but equally council's role at the end of the day is to balance all of the competing concerns. Now, I just thought it was important to set that framework. So it is very much a situation at present. But other questions from councillors? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. Thank you for taking the time to do the presentation. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, just it's not an area I'm really familiar with, but I'd like to know how far you are from those other basketball rings that you reference.
So I'm three houses down. So
the reserves.
How far I would be from the ring, you say, you're saying?
From the existing reserves with basketball rings.
Oh, okay. The closest one to me would be Hazelmere.
How far is that from your house?
That is approximately maybe 5 blocks.
Thank you. And I know from experience that a bouncing basketball is extremely noisy and irritating. What do we do about the people's mental health who have to listen to that throughout the day and evening?
Well, the evening could be, as I said, a curfew could be brought in. Okay. And I think the little research I have done, but I have seen that a bouncing basketball on the concrete surface is around about 55 decibels. Okay. If we reduce that by 30% with a surface such as the plastic tile surface, it brings it down to around about 38 decibels approximately, which is well inside the EPA acceptable level between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Then I think I'll just thank you at that point, Mr. Black. Thanks for advocacy on behalf of those who want the 3-on-3 as close as you would prefer. You're welcome to stay on the line, but there's some technological fix here. I think you might be relegated from panelist to attendee or something like that, or the other way around. And we're now going to hear from Sean Holland, who has a different view of the 3-on-3 basketball court proposition. So we're trying Holland online now.
Hello, can you hear me? Have you got me? Hello.
Start video on your screen. Click on that.
Hello, you got me?
Thank you. So I'm not sure if you've heard the previous deputation, but if you could just begin, I'm Chris Hannah, the mayor. Just if you could start by indicating where you live.
Hello, have you got me?
Yes, can you hear up? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hello, have you got me? Yes, I can hear you.
That's good. Just takes a bit of time with this technology. So I'm Chris Hannah, I'm the mayor, and if you could just, you have 5 minutes, Mr. Holland, if you could start by just explaining where you live in relation to Stanley Street Reserve, and any proposed 3-on-3 basketball, and then give us your view. Thank you.
Okay, I did actually prepare a couple of pages that I wanted to read out, but I could just start by saying that I live at 55 Livingstone Street, Glengarry, and my side boundary fence is next to the Stanley Street Park on the eastern side.
All right, yeah, carry
read
on.
Out this.
Yeah, you carry
Hello?
On.
Okay. I live there with my daughter. We are both police officers doing shift work. The park is a small landlocked park between Stanley and Livingston Street. I'm in favour of the upgrade of the park, minus the 3-on-3 court. The upgrade includes the new playground, cricket pitch and soccer goal. In addition, there's already the two tennis courts. This is enough for a small park of that size. The 3-on-3 basketball court is too much and has its associated issues. The noise that comes with the constant ball bouncing on the court, backboard and hoop ring is loud and constant. The nature of the park is such that because it is hemmed in between surrounding properties on the eastern and western sides, the noise and sounds amplify. It creates an amphitheatre-like sound, particularly at the southern end. My bedroom window faces into the park at the southern end. I hear all the noise and sound at the end, the tennis courts and the playground. I accept that it has been the same way since I bought the house in 1997. The original upgrade concept plan had the basketball court at the northern end. Objections raised by my rear neighbour resulted in a new draft placing the court at the southern end of the park. It's like shifting deck chairs on the Titanic. Moving the court around is still going to impact on others, particularly me. The noise problem doesn't go away. When the revised plan came out, I met with the council representatives to voice my concern. I also met with my two ward councillors, Jason Valescu and Kendra Clancy. I was subsequently advised by Kendra that the court had been removed from the plan. I thought that was a fair outcome. I recently found out about a petition to have the court reinstated. I've seen a copy of it. Some of the signatures don't even live in Glengarry, and one is around the corner from Willoughby Reserve, where there is a basketball ring. Most of the others are from surrounding streets and won't be impacted by the noise of the court. There are three-on-three courts in Willoughby, Appleby and Hazelmere Parks, all within a 4 to 6 minute bike ride from Stanley Street. The petitioner's letter says that the park lacks attraction for older children. The park will provide tennis, cricket and soccer facilities. People can also still exercise and walk their dogs. Not all parks cater for all sports, especially a small one like Stanley Street. The letter also questions how one person can choose to live next to a reserve with a tennis court that stops this for everyone else. I accepted the tennis court and playground noise when I bought the house. There was no mention of a three-on-three court then. The sound of a tennis ball cannot be compared to the constant bouncing of a basketball. A council staff member told me that the petitioner's family members play club basketball. That's great, but the petitioner's sport of choice should not come at the cost of my ability to sleep between shifts and the peaceful enjoyment of my home. The originating officer's report states Stanley Reserve is a key open space in Glengarry. It is a small park, not suited to a three-on-three park and the associated noise. The sort of noise and frequency in this type of location will easily constitute an unreasonable interference with the enjoyment of the neighbouring premises by persons occupying those premises. This sums up the effect the court would have on me and others at my home. To the petitioners, I would say you can't lose what you never had. It's not fair I should lose what I do have. I believe that the constant noise of a three-on-three court would force me to consider moving from my home, which is something I've never contemplated, and cause me unreasonable personal and financial detriment just because others won't use the current facilities provided by council. A few minutes away. In consideration of fairness, I think the three-on-three basketball court should be left out of the Stanley Reserve upgrade. Thank you.
Thanks for the presentation. I'll just ask if any of the councillors have any questions for you. There being none, I just thank you at this point, Mr. Holland, for your presentation. The staff will relegate you to being an attendee of the meeting without being on the panel, so to speak. But from that point, you'll be able to see and hear us, I believe, as we consider the petition, which is the next item on the agenda. So you understand that process?
Okay, so the decision gets made later on, is that right, or?
Potentially in a few minutes' time. So we're going to put you back to the meeting without participating in it, as per our usual protocol.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
So, members, while that's happening, you'll note that on page 41 of the agenda, there is the petition. As we always do, there's a recommendation to note the petition. This is probably one of a number of items where it would be useful to have a bit more help from staff about framing of a motion. There is some suggestion there on page 43. For what it's worth, I would have expressed it a bit more clearly, for example, either notes the petition and resolves to include a three-on-three basketball court in the upgrade of the Stanley Street Reserve, or notes the petition and resolves to make no change to the upgrade of Stanley Street Reserve as currently proposed, which is obviously the option without the three-on-three. So I just put that forward to assist members if they wish to take up any of that verbiage. Any or there are other alternatives, of course. Councillor Clancy, you have some
suggestions? Yes, I'd like to move that council notes the petition and that a more suitable site for a 3-versus-3 basketball court be identified within 1,000 metres of Stanley Street Reserve.
Just a clarification before we go on. Councillor Clancy, do you mean a new 3-on-3 basketball court or potentially an alternative existing one?
Using the funding from Stanley Street Reserve and put in an alternate location.
Right, so you're suggesting a new 3-on-3 but in another reserve?
Yes.
All right. Could you read that out again and we may be able to, is it available to be placed up on the screen? Thank you to Ms. Moritz, who's in charge of this. So in the blue print there, the council notes the petition, that's uncontroversial, and that a more suitable site for a 3-on-3 basketball court be identified within 1,000 metres of Stanley Street Reserve. To be true to the intention of the motion, I would suggest the word new be put in for 3-on-3. That's not to say I necessarily agree with it, but I think that captures what was just explained. Now, Ms. Waits has a technical point.
Should we clarify where the funds for that is coming from? Because that motion currently doesn't say using the funds.
Yes. Can I have some advice from staff about that?
Greg?
Mr. Salmon is online. Any thoughts?
Through the chair, cost of a court is around $15,000, so that could be allocated.
Just from the, I mean, we normally want to identify the source as well. I mean, is the space reserve or something like that appropriate?
Yeah, we'll have this, through the chair, we'll have the saving from the Stanley Street project, so that could be simply from the Stanley Street reserve budget.
So you're identified from the Stanley Street Reserve upgrade budget. Excellent. So I hope you don't mind that, assistance, Councillor Clancy.
And just point three, that the staff advice, the outcome.
Yes, that's customary. You may speak to the motion, Councillor Clancy.
Thank you. So the basketball court was not included in the final plan due to adjacent residents concerned about the noise. It was initially in the northern end and an adjacent resident said he didn't want it there, he wanted it to move to the southern end. So it was decided to move to the southern end and, as you would expect, residents in the southern end were unhappy with it. So we're moving it for one resident but not another, so I'm concerned about the equity issues there. This is a unique reserve in the fact that it's lined by houses, whereas a lot of other parks in Glengarry, at least, are lined by roads or the Sturt River. So it has some room for buffer. So I don't think this is the most suitable park for a basketball ring. There are other opportunities for young people at the park. There's going to be a new new soccer net. There's going to be cricket pitch. There's also two tennis courts which are padlocked. I wonder if maybe Stanley Street Reserve Tennis Club consider the opportunities they could offer youth in the area. Can they apply for a federal government grant or a state government grant to put a youth tennis group on or look at other opportunities to assist with youth? I'm happy to consider another basketball court in close proximity. But I do understand other councils aren't supportive of that because there are three other reserves within our city of Marion. Willoughby Reserve, Hazelmere Reserve and Appleby Reserve, and also within just over a K we also have Glenelg Primary School and De Costa Park.
Thank you. Is the motion seconded? I've got a question first.
I've got a housekeeping question.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the setup of the room means that three councils can't see what is displayed on the screen, and I don't think that's appropriate. You know, there's a screen over here that could be flicked up on as well.
But, so you know, there's a point of order, and it's a fair point of order. The difficulty is that we're sitting in an ellipse, and it's therefore difficult to place the screen so that all of us can see it clearly at the same time. I think it is particularly important for the chair to be able to see it, but Mr. Thwaites, what do you recommend?
I do apologise. The minutes being done by Tori, who's not at home, she's on the Zoom. So therefore they're being projected through the screen of the Zoom. They're not being done in the room here, and we can put it up on the screen as well. You're welcome to move along.
Well, I actually have gone on Zoom myself, and you know, in the incredible situation to go on Zoom here to watch the residents, and you know, but it's difficult to flick backwards and forwards. But anyway, I'll move on, just flag it maybe for the next meeting, and maybe we can do it better.
Yeah.
But I have a broader question.
And final comment, it's a unique situation because we've got most of the staff working at home this week. So I'm hoping that by the time we next have a meeting, we'll be back to that hybrid situation. We will have staff on board, and then you'll have the screens as you had them before. So, anyway, sorry, Councillor Hull.
I have a question about basketball.
A question, yep.
Yeah. Stanley Street Glengowrie is not unique. I was dealing with another one today at Hammond Park Reserve.
Sorry, it sounds like entering into the debate.
No, I want to know, in a broader sense,
yes.
is there any advice from staff as to how we can actually deal with basketball, because the noise issue is a common theme. Be it like the backboard is one, and I recommended that for the solution in Hamilton Park Reserve today, but are there any other solutions? Because with urban infill, Mr. Mayor, we need
I won't get into debate, but just on the question of having silent basketball in the suburbs, Mr. Salmon or any other staff able to assist?
Yeah, thank you, through the Chair. We are investigating some of these quieter materials that have been mentioned by one of the petitioners, quieter backboards, quieter surface materials. So we are looking into that and looking to start including that in these new basketball facilities.
Okay, so any other questions?
A couple of questions. Yes. Two questions. The first one, through Your Worship, is the way that is worded at the moment, it's sort of worded that you will find somewhere. What if staff can't? Would it be better word that that council explore opportunities for an additional or a new? If sort of you will find one in 1,000 metres.
Well, that's sort of a question. Councillor Clancy, do you want to take that aboard?
So, in this case. Opportunities for
you. A more suitable
site. Yeah,
well, that covers it. So, any other questions?
So the second question is probably one for Mr. Salmon is, and I apologise, I haven't had a chance to do the full research, but I know for such a small ward, and I'm not sure why it happened, but it's already got 10 times more basketball multi-purpose courts than some other courts that have zero. I'm just surprised that even though it's so oversubscribed with basketball and multi-purpose courts, why are we actually trying to install more? Is there a distance that we should have these types of facilities geographically? I just don't know why it's been applied in one area so strongly, virtually zero in other areas.
Yeah, through the chair, I can answer that. It's in the open space plan that was endorsed back in June, it was part of the service standard for a neighbourhood level reserve that would have a 3x3 basketball court. So that's why staff have tried to include that in this project.
That answer suggests that no consideration of nearby 3x3 courts was taken into account.
Through the chair, I believe it was. I don't have that exact information in front of me, but I know that the team is very much across provision of sporting infrastructure and deemed it appropriate to have it in this location. But I'd have to take that on notice if you want more specific advice.
Yeah, just if we could take that on notice and just give us an indication of how far apart they are in that particular ward and in comparison with what's the standard.
All right, that's a question we might understand. Other questions, Councillor?
I have a question, but I would really like to give someone the opportunity to second the motion first.
Yeah. Well, yes. Would someone like to second the motion?
Sorry, can someone read it out?
Yes. Notice the petition. The council investigate a more suitable site for a new 303 basketball court within 1,000 metres of Stanley Street Reserve. The funding allocated through the savings identified from the Stanley Street Reserve upgrade budget.
Councillor,
okay.
The listener
is
missing. If he's trying to second it.
If we could just take it, Ms. Moritz, if we could take it off the screen now so I can see everyone, please. Right, now is there anyone who wishes to second the motion? Councillor Blessing.
Yeah. Before I do, Your Worship, I was just wondering if you put, we note the petition and that the basketball courts are not included in this Downing Street upgrade. Because I guess just to be clear on that, that's allowable by the mover and governance?
I understand the point. He notes the petition. So what's the wording?
He notes the point two to remain that not included 303 basketball at Stanley Street.
And investigate others. Well, I'll let you sort that out. I mean, what you're really suggesting as a potential seconder is that Councillor Clancy is invited to amend the motion or adopt your suggestions in moving the motion.
Did you understand that? So,
yes.
Yeah. So,
do you wish to take that on board?
Yes.
Motion? Yes.
So, Tori, point two would be...
Ms. Moritz, we will need it up on the screen again because we're going to just massage the wording.
So that to not include a 303 basketball court at Stanley Street Reserve, and then... Yes.
Okay, Councillor Fancy, can you see that? Well, sorry, I'll read it out for everyone. The new clause is, which is implicit, but to make it clear that Council will not include a 303 basketball court at Stanley Street Reserve as part of the upgrade. Okay, so we have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Bliss, do you wish to speak to that?
Yes, thank you. Look, I do support basketball in the area, and you know, I used to play basketball myself, and you know, it is something that I would like to encourage our community. But we are encouraging our community to do so. We're spending millions of dollars upgrading Mitchell Park, so people at the elite or club level will actually have a multi-million dollar facility to play basketball. This isn't an easy decision, and I really think we need to look at what is the right thing to do. And I think when you've got a situation where it'll cause a significant and reasonable, it's a significant impact on people around there. We've already moved it once because someone didn't like it, and someone else doesn't like it as well. And I don't think that the way that park is designed is appropriate for that sort of activity. Now, the noise, the noise calming things could be something we can consider in other reserves. But I think especially at that southern end, I don't think there'll be very much difference. And those other options, there's a higher cost, but also with the surfacing, there would likely be issues with maintenance and damage. So, and for little change, I think it was to affect people. So it's not an easy decision, but I look at it that at the moment, there's no basketball there. If we put basketball there, someone's situation and probably others will be worse, and at a level which I don't think is acceptable. So whilst it is an easy decision to make, I think it's the right one. And I'd be happy and support Councillor Clancy looking at alternatives. And I guess the other thing as well is this is part of the lesson in sporting, that sometimes we can't always get what we'd ideally like, because we do need to consider other people. And I hope this doesn't divide the community. I hope that we can sort of move forward and look at a more suitable location and encourage young people to play a variety of sports with the facilities that we provide. Just this won't be included at this location.
Thank you. We'll go on with the debate. I just want to point out that there are people might vote in the negative for two different reasons. It might be because they want basketball on the Stanley Street Reserve, or it might be because they don't want the investigation of another court within 1,000 metres. So if I'm just suggesting if that's anyone's intention, it can be addressed by way of an amendment to this motion. I won't say that it's a direct negative if people want to go down the track in relation to the investigation. If, on the other hand, people have the view that they want basketball on the court, then they should indicate they're going to foreshadow a different motion and in the event of this one being defeated. Of course, if you agree with the motion, it's straight through the process. I just wanted to try and make it a bit clearer about how we proceed. Now, we've had a mover and a seconder. So is anyone speaking against the motion?
A couple
of questions. You've had one already, I think, Councillor Hull. I've got two more.
I only need two is plenty. The practical question is, within 1,000 metres where? I used to represent this ward, and I'm pretty sure we don't have any reserves within 1,000 metres of Stanley Street Reserve.
There is a map, Councillor, in the agenda, which shows a couple of options within 1,000 metres. There are a few options, in fact.
Which ones, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I'm looking at page 50 of the agenda, and in terms of the City of Marion, that's a 750-metre radius, I think.
We're in Morpheville, yeah.
Hazelmere was at the 750. So the 1,000-metre radius, Hamilton Park's just on the edge, Hazelmere Road Reserves within, McKellar Terrace within, Denham Avenue within, Kellett Oval within, Willoughby Avenue Reserve within, Appleby Reserves just on the edge, and then there's the Costa Reserve within Holdfast Bay. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, the point is that we talk about the reserves that have already got them.
Well, no. If you're asking questions, what's your other question?
The other question I've got is, by moving it to another location, it's like moving the phone tower. You know, like, are you going to find another couple of people that won't want it as well for the very same reasons?
Well, and I think the key word then in the motion as it stands at the moment is investigates.
Yeah.
So if the investigation comes back and everybody treats the thing like a phone tower, then that might lead to a particular conclusion of the investigation.
Okay. So, well, I'll speak to the motion. I'll support it on the face value.
Well, just described. You've had a mover and a seconder.
Oh, you want
so I'm calling to see if there is anyone who wishes to speak against. Because if not, then we'll simply put it to the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So thanks. Sorry, missed the opportunity, Councillor Hull, but that moves us along in the agenda. So I hope it made sense to Mr. Black and Mr. Holland. Mr. Black will be advised as the head petitioner anyway. The committee reports pages 51 and 57. Would somebody like to move both of them on block? If the minutes be confirmed, Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Telfer. If there aren't any questions, then all those in favour, raise your hand. Those minutes are confirmed. Thank you. Now, I think we do have to do this separately. Public submissions on the representation review. I think Mr. Waits, this is for the call to see if any members of the public wish to make a comment. Ms. McKenzie,
did you want to clarify? Through the chair, today we received one written submission, which will be presented to council with the final report on the 8th of December. But we have received, and we have clarified with that person that they did not wish to present to the council tonight. And the consultation outcomes, the final consultation outcomes will also be presented at that meeting.
So, Ms. McKenzie, the motion as it stands on page 63 can proceed as it is. Still makes sense, does it? Very well. Do we need to check if there are any members of the public watching online who wish to make a comment?
No, the only people that are entitled to make a comment are those that have submitted a written submission, and we've only received one and clarified with them that they don't wish to.
Thanks for the clarification. That is straightforward then. Members, can I just check with you whether you had any whether you saw any controversy in the two kindergarten issues or the community gardens or coastal walkway. I'm just suggesting that they are quite different items and numerous questions would be welcomed, but we could potentially deal with them en bloc. I don't, just as chair, I don't see it as particularly controversial. All right, then Councillor Shelley.
The community gardens one, I'd like to point something out, which I've already done to open staff.
Sure. Are you happy to do that within the context of a debate en bloc?
Yeah, sure.
You will have the opportunity. Councillor Shilling's moving those five en bloc, seconded by Councillor Mason. Perhaps we should just deal with any questions first. I'll come back to you, Councillor Hull. On any of those five reports, any questions from members? Councillor Gard has a question.
Thank you, Worship. It's regarding the community garden, I'm representing a former councillor, Councillor Westwood, on this matter, who, as we all know, is very active in the community garden in Trott Park. And I also have my own views, being having a community garden in our own ward here. The question is whether there is any need seen or perceived by administration or other councillors for public consultation in a matter where we're changing policy that affects the outside world. There's one thing to change policy that affects us internally and how we deal with matters, but where there is effect upon people that are participants in those community gardens, I do see the possibility or good reasoning for consultation with them when we're changing policy that will affect them one way or the other.
Who among staff would like to answer that? Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, my recommendation on this one would be if you wished to consult on the policy document, then that would be appropriate. In regards to the template as such, I think the template needs to be set by management, because there would be some certain things in there that would certainly you wouldn't consult on, as they would be non-negotiables.
So following on from that, if I may, Your Worship, is it possible that as part of the motion we introduce the subject of consultation?
Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, yes, I think if you wanted to consult on the amendments to the policy, then yes, certainly we could go back out to those groups on the policy document. That's fine.
Does any change need to be made in governance's view on the motion?
Well, I think that's clear that you've got a recommended motion there without consultation, Councillor Gard, so it'll be up to councillors if we want to remedy that. I might just go to Councillor Hull next with his contribution in the debate.
Well, Mr Mayor, oddly enough, Councillor Gard has hit on the very issue I wanted to raise, and I indeed raised that today with staff. I've been in contact with perhaps three different community garden groups in our city, Fovelli Park, Marina, and also the one at Oakley Park. Now, Councillor Pryor and myself met with the committee of the Oakley Park one last week, and the week before maybe, before lockdown, and they raised concern about the agreement. They weren't aware it was coming, and we tried to reassure them by saying there will be community consultation. Because as the Mayor said earlier tonight, that's what we do. That's what Marion does. However, with this, we didn't. And the template is part of the policy. It's linked. I realise it's written by a lawyer, and some of the things are not negotiable. Ms McKenzie is absolutely correct. But I think we might even have a chance of learning something and understanding the community garden sector better than we do now. It's a very new thing, relatively. This is the first time we've actually has a policy and a agreement template that I'm aware of. So I think it wouldn't hurt to consult not with the broader community on this, but with the focus groups, with the committees of the community gardens, just to ascertain whether it's palatable, whether we can adjust things or whether we can include things or even remove things. I think that's all part of the mix of consultation. And I agree with Councillor Gard, that's something we should do, and I feel a lot more comfortable about it, about, you know, living up to the rhetoric that that's what Marion does.
Councillor Hull, and thank you, Councillor Gard, for the very pertinent question. There's no procedural problem with amending motion that various items be moved on block and approved. So I invite you, Councillor Hull, if you wish to move an amendment which would have the effect of deferring the community gardens agreement
until such
decision
time.
Until the policy and template have been the subject of community consultation.
That's fine by me.
And the mover is willing to incorporate that, in fact, into the motion. So, with the leave of the meeting, the mover and seconder agree that should be incorporated into the motion. I'll just check with Ms. Moritz whether she has that. And it might be one of those moments when we have to put the document on the screen. Please, Ms. Moritz. Just give Ms. Moritz a chance to take a stab at it. In the subject of community consultation. Ruth, are you with us?
Yes, she's here. Being the subject of committee and consultation.
Being the subject of community consultation. Okay. Ms. Norris, can you hear the mayor? Can you hear the mayor?
Yeah.
Let's improve the grammar while the cursor's blinking. Defer the item until the community has been consulted on. Defer the item until the community has been consulted on. Thank you. Full stop again.
Community gardens.
Community. Well, oh, sorry, it's called a community gardens policy. Thank you, Mr. Lyons. And the first community has a small C.
Yes, Mayor, it should not be the community gardens focus, Chris, because it's a broader community, then it's going to be adds some hope and all sorts of
things. Oh, no, I think. Oh, yeah, until the relevant community.
It's not that easy to start.
Okay, yes, community, yeah.
There's only seven groups, so.
What do you call them?
Stakeholders.
Until the relevant community groups.
Yep.
That's it. Right, so.
As listed in the report. You've got that.
I think that'll be specific enough in this case. Thank you. So that's been moved and seconded as such. There are others who may wish to speak to that item or any other, but preferably speak to this one first. Councillor Telford.
My questions relate to accessibility. Just as we heard tonight, Stanley Street courts are locked, and we've had the debate about courts being open for the public. I have a question to staff about the accessibility via the keys. I'm concerned about key holders and accessibility, and also whether there could be an appropriate notice at the gates so that the community knows where they can contact the relevant holders of the keys.
Right, so if there's a community garden that is locked in some way, that somebody who wants to explore it for the first time can locate the person in the community with the key. Staff, we should comment? Who have we got?
There'd only be a couple that would be in that situation.
I'm available here through the chair to respond to that one if you like. So we only have one garden that is locked at the moment, that's down at Trott Park. Generally they are intended to be open to the community to access them as they wish. And we are also working around the different gardens to provide signage information as to who people can contact if they want to know more about the garden. So I mean, I think that's, they're excellent suggestions, and we'll be working with the groups to make sure that they are accessible and open to anyone who wishes to be part of those gardens.
Councillor Telford, does that help? Very well. Then, does anyone else have any questions on any of the topics? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. I've got a similar issue with the coastal walkway. Again, there seems to be a missing consultation point. All it says just before the recommendation is that administration will continue to consult and engage with key stakeholders during the detailed design process and the construction phase. The problem is at the moment we've just got a one-dimensional plan where I've received emails and questions of where, well, it says that this access may be removed or not. There's no actual finalisation in that. There's a slight variation in possible routes. There's different designs of heights. None of that has been actually designed and provided to the public. And I'm just concerned that we're sort of missing a step out, that when the actual engineered design is actually finalised, where you can see where the beach accesses are going to be,
how high the boardwalk will be on the sand dunes, what the accessibility will be. It sort of reads to me as if it'll be designed and it'll be built and it'll be too late.
Well, from the recommendation or the recommended motions, this does look like it's the final decision of council that that's the design. It'll be built once it's gone to tender. Sorry, it has gone to tender to award the contracts based on current design, but sort of consult with people along the way.
So even we don't get another bite of this, it's basically gone from tonight, where we're seeing a line and possible lines on a piece of paper one-dimensionally, and then all of a sudden we're not sure which lines it's following, what the actual design will be, right down to even the railings. We have no actual visuals of what we're purchasing.
All right.
So I just wondered if that might be, I don't know who the best person to
address those concerns. Comments from staff?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. That is the intent of the report, is to meet the demand to get this project delivered as fast as possible. In saying that, we can work along the way with ward members, which we would do just as a matter of course, in those levels of detail and with the mayor and potentially with stakeholders directly adjacent to the path which we've done up until now. And we can develop a short consultation plan on that if that gives you more comfort. But it's our recommendation to deliver this on time, to not have to come back to council again to get a more detailed design endorsed.
So my response to that, Your Worship, is thank you, Mr. Sandler. I'm happy for that to happen, but I think from the Chamber's point of view, I'd like to know that other elected members are happy that the ward members will keep a watchful eye and do the appropriate consultation with residents. So that would be the first question, because it's sort of taken away from other elected members to be involved. I am keen to keep it moving along, but I just feel that it is missing that sort of potential to officially have some consultation along the way with affected parties.
So, Councillor Crossland, if we included something in the motion to the effect that, to the effect of the line at the end of the executive summary, it says the administration will continue to consult and engage with key stakeholders during the design process and during the construction phase. So, if that was part of the motion,
notes that.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with that. The elected members are happy, and I just wonder, so if there is an issue, and this is addressed to Mr. Salmon, what process would be available for myself and Councillor Gard if issues were raised which were relevant that we could actually work with residents to get a good outcome?
I think there's going to be a bit of a trust process involved there. Mr. Salmon, what do you say?
Yeah, I think you're right, Mr. Mayor. We just have to work closely together and closely in engaging with the stakeholders in the community as well.
So, I mean, look, we have been, I think, caught out before, maybe not in a serious way, once we enter into a contract that someone's going to build something, it then becomes very difficult. There may be a little bit of wriggle room about, the colour of the paint, but you're pretty firmly committed once designs are approved and the subject of construction contract. But at the same time, I'm sure there is goodwill among staff to keep sharing things with councillors and key stakeholders. So you're happy to go with that?
I'm happy to go with that, Your Worship. I suppose the final degree of comfort for residents is that if there are serious issues raised and they're not addressed, then I have the ability to bring that back.
Back to council, that's right. Now, I asked the mover and seconder if they had to incorporate that in the motion as part of the en bloc motion. So thank you for that. Thank you, everyone, for their cooperation. Are there any further points on any of those reports? Then, yes, Councillor Gard, you haven't yet spoken in the debate, so go ahead.
Yes, look, if could just bear with me, I would like to just add to Councillor Crossan's comment. I think in my mind, well, firstly, it's been an outstanding amount of design work and development and presentation. I have no doubt that's worthy of comment. But I view the complexity of the coastal walk to be such that at some point in time, and I think this might avoid a lot of evils, there be an invitation to local community, particularly to do a tour of a kind of those three points, areas 5, 6, and 10, just to better explain what the changes will be. Because even I, and I guess Ian too, who are very conversant with the physical nature of the walkway there, find it hard in the one dimension to just translate what the design work means. So I think that might be an answer at some point in time that, you know, is best.
Thank you. Any other comments? Then I'll put those five motions on block to the council with those changes incorporated. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we'll go to both sports and community club. Now I've got a question. Are you, Councillor Schilling, are you raising your hand to move motion?
I am, but not the motion that's for us.
All right. I think, to be fair, this is one of those that a few questions.
Yes, but my motion may answer a lot of questions.
Can you tell me the motion before I accept it?
Yes, I would like to defer this motion until January 2021's meeting.
Well, that.
And I'm happy to speak to that with my reasoning.
Yes, proceed. No, I'll ask Councillor Schilling to proceed. So let's hear the deferral motion. After all, a procedural motion takes precedence.
Thank you, Your Worship. And I'd like to see this motion deferred to our January 2021 meeting on the basis of I feel, and I know my fellow Southern councillors feel, we are rushing into a decision to try and meet some grant funding for Cove. It took several years to design Edwardstown correctly. It's taken several years to design Mitchell Park correctly. And I feel that we are rushing to make a decision on design on Cove within several months. I'm aware that the state government has funding in January 2021, but I'm also aware that they have extra funding available for the community in January 2022, to my knowledge. We'll also be entering in an election year for both state and federal within the next 12 to 18 months. I believe if we have a fully costed, fully plan that we can take to state members and federal members, we have a good chance of getting funding. However, as councillors, we also don't feel that we've had enough discussion with staff regarding this. I know that we are split on this. Some of us want two ovals, some of us want one oval. And it's a project that we really feel we need more input on. But the other big concern for us is that we're basing this on a community consultation. And for example, 25 people have said, I don't think it's 25 exactly, but we'll pull that figure out of a hat, have said we want to see lawn bowls there. And we've gone, okay, we're going to build a facility for lawn bowls. However, we haven't actually established whether there is enough interest in the community to establish a lawn bowls club, and lawn bowls facilities are not cheap to run.
Well, thank you. There's a motion to defer. If it's passed, what I would invite members to do is just informally mention any items which they wish staff to take away between now and January. Is the motion seconded?
Question. It's an important question. It's just about the funding, whether, you know, from the CEO, whether we can still meet those grant funding timelines and achieve Councillor Schilling's motion.
So I understand that it is an urgent question in a sense before deciding on a deferral. And as I understand it, if this was put off at the end of January meeting, we wouldn't be applying for the 50-50 state funding. because it has to be applied for by the 29th of January.
So what Councillor Shimmons is suggesting is another pot of money that probably will come.
Yes, he's...
That had been indicated in the state budget.
He's demonstrated his political insight.
He's in chill.
There are pathways of gold beyond 29th of January.
I'll second.
Well, I was actually going to call on Councillor Duncan. She put her hand up to second. The question is a good one. Thank you. Councillor Duncan, you second the motion?
I do second the motion. And I support what Councillor Schling has said. And I think we have time to actually put into getting it right. If you do it and rush it now, we're not going to do it right, and we're going to upset so many people, and we don't know if we're going to do it. It's the right thing for the community. We want to do it correctly.
Thank you. Well, two call questions, if you like, but I think it's a little bit of a strange thing. I don't know. I'll just ask governance, does it matter whether we sort of take up issues in the form of questions, or just deal with the motion and then raise issues in between motions?
Deferring the item isn't exactly a procedural motion. It's when you adjourn the item as procedural. So deferring can actually just be the motion and you can deal with it as...
Like a normal motion.
Yes.
Well, I stand corrected. Thank you. So, whatever. Councillor Duncan, did you wish to speak further, or it's been covered? Well, can I put on the table then, from my point of view, if the motion's deferred, there are two key issues which I think would be explored. One is that the report before us does not make sense on the face of it, because it says you can have one oval and all of these things, lawn bowls, car parking, other activities, playground, etc. Or you can have two ovals and all of the same things. And I really can't understand that. I had a one-line response from staff today, but that didn't really help me at all. So that's something that needs to be addressed. And maybe that actually needs a couple of diagrams, because to help us understand not what's there at the moment, but what impact the spacing of two ovals would be compared to one, and also whether and if there is one, whether it should be at the lower or the upper level. I think a little bit of sketchwork, non-committal sketchwork, needs to be done before January if we're going to defer. The other issue, lawn bowls features as a potential for the site, and something that we may be able to get from Bowls SA, I hope, is from all of the surrounding clubs, from Brighton to Happy Valley to Morford Vale at least, how many members in those clubs actually reside in Merino, Hallett Cove, Shido Park, Trot Park, and our little bit of Helen Hill, if you want to throw that in. Because, you know, I don't think we need to knock on their doors and ask them if they join a club if it was at Hallett Cove, but it would give us an indication of a relevant lawn bowls population, which would help with council's decision. So I'm not even asking for an answer now, it's just something that could be looked at if the matter's being deferred. Councillor Crossman.
Just very briefly, I had some similar issues. Is there any justification for a second oval? The numbers don't seem to suggest there is, so why is it on there? We've had a couple of years ago hockey coming to us saying, if you ever get a piece of flat land, we'd be interested. I can't see why it looks like they either not even been contacted, or maybe they have and just said, yeah, we're no longer interested. I'd like to know what their response was. But just to echo really what Councillor Schilling and Councillor Duncan have said, we really need to know what is the sporting deficiency in the southern suburbs. We know we're short of most sports in the sort of suburbs? Is there justification for an indoor stadium? We heard the other day that there's a potential of still a shortage of indoor courts. Well, if there's a shortage of indoor courts, there is zero courts in the southern suburbs and all the way right down to Morphett Vale. So why is that not in the staff report? Why is the, we really want to highlight what sports are really deficient in that area in the decision making. And I just don't think we've got that.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer.
Can I mention rugby and the Diamond Sports as well? They need to be in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Baseball and softball, I've got that. And maybe Browns. Any others? So, anyone else speaking to the motion, in fact? Then I'll put the motion to defer to the end of January. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. No. All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So now we move on to Marino Hall, page 189 of the agenda. Councillor Gard, you've got your electronic hand up.
Is for another time. Unfortunately, that could go now. I'll put my hand up to move the motion.
All right. Good. Did you wish to speak to it then?
If I may, this is a rather big crossroads for the coastal ward and indeed for the city of Marion. There are a few things that come out of where we are thus far, and one of my biggest points of the past has been the fact that when we go out to the community and we rely only on passive response, we are highly likely in most quarters to get a loaded feedback which is not representative of the whole community. And we're in that situation now, it's my belief, that how many people truly would not like to see any change to the building in its general nature at all, versus how many would like to see the building gone tomorrow versus a little later, etc. My sense has always been that the ugliness of a building is one of the worst aspects of Marino. It's something that occurred to me when I first moved in as a resident 18 years ago almost. Unfortunately, few little modifications happened to the building which did moderate a little bit, such as the mural, although some people don't like the mural at all. So I just make that general point because we can very easily be swayed by the few if we're not mindful of the fact that active consultation at a time like this can give us a much different viewpoint or spotlight of what is. I think also the consultation has done enough to bring to light a few things such as the rooftop garden, the men's shed, and the fact that perhaps they're low on the list. One question I would have for administration is...
Sorry, it has expired. If you want a one-sentence summary, you can do that. Thanks.
Okay. Yep. I think we have more work to do on the feedback in the consultation, but I certainly do endorse that we move forward as the motion says.
Well, I'll just point out that, the Mayor did, admittedly, late in the piece, email staff with concerns about the motion, but he won't. Yep. Councillor Crossland.
Can I start with a question, please, Your Worship?
Sure.
To staff again. And hopefully we get support from Councillor Gard. I'm just, again, we're going back to the consultation process. The consultation process clearly shows there wasn't really support for the rooftop garden or the men's shed workshop, but there was a lot of feeling in the feedback that we missed the opportunity of a small garden there, which is hall and car park. The question for staff is, in the detailed design, taking into account the feedback we're receiving, would the workshop be going, and would there be opportunity to introduce some form of a small fenced courtyard garden that could be used by the community when they're using those facilities?
Mr. Salmon.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, look, that would be possible through the through working through the stakeholder feedback with stakeholders, including the ward members, to make those kind of design refinements.
So a follow-up question to that. Does that need to be made clear in this motion that we, as a result of feedback, we won't be pursuing a rooftop garden or a workshop, and we will look at options of increasing open space for the community to use at that site?
Through the chair, the rooftop garden is not part of the official scope at the moment, so that doesn't require any action. The community, or the garden aspect, I'm comfortable we could work through that with stakeholders and the ward members, but if you wanted to lock it in, you could make that part of the motion.
Councillor Crossan, can you help me out? Where does it appear in the consultation results?
Well, they don't really, if you read all the feedback, a lot of people were surprised that there was no more open area for the cafe or an area when you're using the hall where you could open out into a safe garden courtyard area. That was one of the themes that I took from that feedback. And if the workshop got really low scores and nobody was really in support of it, then responding to that feedback, maybe that wouldn't be an element we pursue. Hence, if we get consultation and we don't actually listen to what people are saying, what's the point? But
well,
that's my take on it. But that may be subjective, as you've highlighted other things that your interpretation of the results are different to mine.
Yes. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's in the hands of the council. If you want to pick out one thing that was in the overall community feedback, then you can.
I suppose for just the councillor guide, I'm happy to leave the motion as is on the feedback from staff that we can actually refine that through the design process without a change to the resolution.
It's been moved.
I'll second it anyway.
Question.
Question, Councillor Schilling.
My question is, what happens if we don't get state funding?
Is that, sorry, two chairs, that question for me to answer? I can answer that. The project will basically, it'll be a hold point for the project until it receives the other 50% funding. And we'd continue to seek other funding sources.
So just to clarify, if we don't get state funding at the moment, this project just stays in a holding place until we do get funding or council resolves to fund it itself, correct?
Apart from $100,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
Fine, thank you.
Councillor Hull.
With the design, and particularly the rooftop area, it could be a rooftop garden, but I just see the great advantage of having a structure that can hold a second level, a rooftop level. be it open or closed, or not, it doesn't matter at this point. Because of the views up there, I just think that such a benefit to that site, particularly when we can actually have a ramp going out and going and disable access straight in from the elevated car park that would be at the back. But I just want to know whether in the scope the structure will have the structural integrity to actually be able to entertain a second lift, could be able to this stage or a further stage.
You mean a rooftop level, Councillor?
Yeah, even if it's just somewhere for people to sit and have a coffee, they can go up there with their coffee from a cafe.
All right, Mr. Salmon?
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, unless it's specifically in the scope now, we wouldn't include that because that would be an unnecessary cost.
Right. So could we actually build it with the superstructure in place that will hold the weight at a future time? I'd hate to actually build it and then rule out the possibility of another level in the future. It could be that the community hall expectations and use additional room. So I just want to know whether it's possible to put the mainframes in to actually make sure we can entertain a second level into the future.
Yeah, thank you. To the chair, it's definitely possible at a cost. We would not recommend that approach. We recommend either including it or not including it. And just another comment on the point of maximising the views. Due to the slope of the site, it could be possible to do the garden that Councillor Crossland's talking about at a higher point on the site that would still achieve those views. Just another point.
Through the chair, could I ask the staff member what he would do at this point?
Well, I presume it would be the motion as well. Yeah, I'm not sure, one of the motions. Mr. Salmon, what would you do at this point?
Yeah, would you build two levels?
Through the chair, I'd maintain the design as endorsed by council with a single level, no rooftop garden, no second level due to the cost associated with that second level. I think we'll get a better outcome for the community using the budget in a single level building.
All right. Anyone else? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. But look, I honestly don't know why I bother to pour through the reports and suggest alternative motions if they're not even going to be considered. Anyway, thank you. I feel better after that. Let's move on to page 251. No, 224. 207. Do I hear any?